And then we've got a Bible. One of these green ones, I think. Just hold it up so I can see that one's got on. Great. We're diving in to John's Gospel, John chapter 4. So if you could turn to that page, page 1066. We're going to be mainly looking at 1067, actually. But yeah, if you can have that in front of you, that would be great. I told you all that I have a four-year-old son, and the thing is with four-year-old children is that you give them some promises, don't you? So you say, we're going to the park, and we're walking down the road, and it's a long way, and they can't see the park. In fact, it's quite a few turns in the road from where we are. And the child has the choice, isn't he, when they hear the promise of a park, to believe that promise or to not believe the promise. And to not believe the promise is just to say, I'm not going any further. Can't see a park. There's no park. The other alternative is to follow, isn't it? Say, I trust the promise and I will follow. And we're thinking today from John chapter 4 about whether Jesus's words, whether his promise is enough to believe, or whether we actually have to see something ourselves. We're going to see some people who saw Jesus's miracles, and you think, well, surely they believed. Well, just hold that thought. Are just Jesus's words, what he says, is that enough to believe? Or do we actually need to see something? Like the kid who says, I just need to see, even if I just saw a corner of the park, I believe. Or are his words enough to believe? Do we have to see something, see Jesus do something like a miracle today to believe who he is, to follow him? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Today we're going to hear of a man who we're told, if you look down with me, in chapter 4, verse 50, which is just over the page, 1068. And this is really the central verse of what we're going to look at today. Go, Jesus replied to the man, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. In just a moment, this is an all-age service, by the way, so in just a moment we're going to have that sort of acted out for us. Can you get that muted? Thank you. We're going to have to hear that acted out for us. Two conversations the man had, the first one he has with Jesus, and the second conversation he has with his servant when he gets home. So just chat to the person next to you, say hello to them, and we're going to come back, and Rob and Anne are going to help me with this. So just chat to the person next to you, say hello, and we'll be back in a moment.
Jesus, please come. My son is sick. I think he's going to die. Unless you see signs, you will not believe.
Jesus, come.
Go. Your son will live. God, your son will live.
What news?
Great news. Yesterday, the fever just went.
Yeah, when?
I said yesterday.
Yes, I know yesterday. But what time?
That one's not.
And Jesus said, go, your son will live.
It's a miracle. Praise the Lord.
I knew I'd get hallelujah from you lot. It's great. Probably not a beckentry, but you know.
Great. If you look at the sheet in front of you, you'll see that there are some questions. There's some things to join up between the answers as well, so you can do that. Just from what we just saw, from the first half, the conversation with Jesus, and then from the second half, which was the conversation when he got home. So I'm going to give you a few minutes just to do that. So there's some pens, paper. If you don't have a pen, come and get one. Great. Right, that was interesting, wasn't it? What did the man find out when he got home? Son will live, yeah. What did he find out about the time of the miracle? Just when Jesus said the words, your son will live. Question for you, which person is more powerful? Is it the person who goes and does something amazing, physically being there? Maybe a doctor, a surgeon, or that kind of person? Or is it the person who doesn't actually even need to be there to do something amazing? Which person is more powerful? The second one, right? Jesus doesn't actually need to be there. He can say something, your son will live. And it happens. Jesus truly is God. He is the only one who can do that. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this song. And it asks the question, who is this man? And really, that should be our response to what we're hearing this morning, is the question of who is this man? If he can do that, who is he? And in the chorus, it says he's the Son of God. He can save us from sin and he calls us to follow him. So let's sing that with great joy. Let's sing this morning. Grab your seats and grab your Bibles as well. And we're going to turn to just the verses before this. So chapter 4, verse 39, if you can find that. It's on the page just before the one we were looking at. And if I can go to the next slide. So we've seen, haven't we, that Jesus' words are enough to believe. The man didn't see the miracle when he believed. He heard Jesus' words, go, your son will live, and he believed. And John, the gospel writer, puts in these other groups of people around in this miracle. And they're there to sort of show that that seeing isn't always believing, okay? And we're going to look first at the Samaritans, and they're the positive example. They don't see anything. They hear of what Jesus is doing and they believe.
but don't see anything. So let's look at verse 39. It says this. This is just before the healing, as you can see in verse 43. In verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world." This group, are they on the screen? No, previous one. Oh, that, is that right? Yeah, great. These guys, the Samaritans, they were like the notorious bad guys that, you know, that they were the guys who'd lynch you if you went through their lands, you know, you can't be trusted. And yet here they are in great number. Scoundrels, yet hearing and believing Jesus' words. It says they believed Jesus' words. They didn't see a sign. They didn't see a miracle for themselves. They heard secondhand of what he says to the woman, and that's enough for them to believe. There's a second group, though, and they're the Galileans. And I think you've got some things to fill in on your sheets if you want to do that. The Galileans. Jesus has met this crowd before. It says that Jesus had been in Galilee, and had turned water into wine. And this group, so they have seen something. And in verse 45, it says, when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival. For they also had been there. They had seen all that Jesus had done at Jerusalem. And the welcome that they give Jesus, we are meant to think this isn't like just a great welcome, okay? This is, what is the reason for their welcome? Because they'd seen Jesus do some stuff. And John calls it into question with what Jesus himself says about them. He says in verse 48, just over the page, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. So Jesus is actually saying, that's not true belief. You just see me do some stuff and you want to see it again. You don't really believe who I am. Or else you'd be like the Samaritans and follow me. Listen to me. You just want to see some miracles. You just want, in chapter 6, you just want another fill of your stomach. You haven't yet believed. It's a rebuke, isn't it? Unless you see signs and miracles, you will not believe. Putting all that together, Jesus is calling into question their belief. And he's saying, and John himself is saying that the Samaritans, them guys, they were believing who Jesus was. And the surprise is that the people who had all the promises, all the information about Jesus, do not know who he is. They haven't fully acknowledged who Jesus is. Yes, they can't deny that he's doing these amazing things. So they believe the miracles, but they don't yet know who Jesus is. So is hearing Jesus enough to believe? Yes, it is. Is seeing some miracles what you, does that always mean you're going to believe Jesus? No. We have it here in God's word. Is hearing Jesus that we need to believe. We need to hear his words. And we're going to think about what that means for us, actually, just after this next song. So if the band can come up, that'd be great. And this talks about the power of God's word. He spoke, creation came to be. And we should think about the words of Jesus here. Go, your son will live. That has real power. And it has power to help us, cause us to believe. So let's stand and sing. Thank you so much for the music. It's great. We're going to be thinking, aren't we, about whether Jesus' words are enough for us to believe who he is. For us here today, who haven't seen Jesus perform any miracles, raise your hand if you've seen Jesus in the flesh performing a miracle. No. Is it possible for us to believe that? It is. And we have Jesus' words, which is powerful to cause us to believe. We can hear from him today. And there's a lot of people in Dagenham that would say, I'm not going to believe unless I see something. And yet actually, this calls that into questions, isn't it? Because it says that there were tons of people who saw something and yet did not believe. God had yet to open their eyes to what they were seeing, to really understand what they were seeing. And when we don't want to look at what the Bible says, we might like to say, if I could see something right here, then I'd believe. But many people did not believe who Jesus was. Many preferred instead to try to get rid of Jesus. Another avoidance strategy might be to say that the Bible is not worth taking seriously because of the miracles. But even those who were opposed to Jesus at the time didn't deny that these things were happening. They saw it with their very eyes. It's only when Jesus himself speaks and reveals himself that anyone can know him. Those who believed weren't those who had seen a miracle, but those who had heard Jesus' words. And so we're in exactly the same boat as them today. We have Jesus' words. They are the words of eternal life. And if you just flick in your Bibles with me to John 6, verse 66. It's over a few pages, page 1071. From this time, Jesus has just been talking about needing to eat his flesh and drink his blood. What on earth? He's talking about his death, the need for salvation through his death. And they're saying, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter said this, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So what would it look like for us to believe Jesus' words today? Jesus has not said to anyone here, go, your son may live, because you probably don't have a son. Is it relevant for us today? Go, your son may live. Well, what is Jesus' promise for us? And I think John, the gospel writer, doesn't really leave us with any guesswork or confusion about that, because he constantly quotes Jesus as saying, come to me for eternal life. Come to me for eternal life. That is Jesus' promise. So what it would look like for us to believe Jesus, to take Jesus at his word, is to come to Jesus for eternal life. Not for the bigger house, not for the job promotion, not for the easier life, but for eternal life. Let's have a look at some of the verses. Chapter 3, verse 14. Just flick back. Sorry, we are jumping around a bit, but this is Jesus himself saying, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then just two verses later, John rubs it in because he doesn't want us to miss it. Most famous verse in the Bible, what is it? It is only son that whoever believes in him may have. It's eternal life. It's the promise. It's the invitation. So to take Jesus at his word is to come to him for eternal life. That is what he's offering. To believe that he is the eternal life and can give eternal life to all those who come to him. Chapter 4, verse 13. Everyone who drinks, this is him talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
John 13, verse 36, I'll just read it to you. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Let's just go to the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, all the way to the end. And it's page 1090. Verse 30. Is everyone there? This is John saying, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the promise of Jesus, the word of Jesus to you, to me, is I am the eternal life. Come to me for eternal life. Not what I'm saying, it's what Jesus is saying. Come to Jesus for eternal life. And to believe that word is to do just that. Have you come to Jesus for eternal life? I was sat just before the service, 10 o'clock. I just came a bit early, so I sat on that bench out there. I'd recommend doing that from time to time, because from that bench, the only thing you can see is death. Sit there. The only thing you can see from that bench is death. Sure, you can see some lovely flowers and stuff like that, but you can see people saying, so-and-so, they were so much loved. They're going to be forever in our memories. Their memory of them will never be lost. Is that true? No, death comes to us all. And Jesus is saying, I am the eternal life. Come to me for life. Will we listen to him? Will we come to him? Will we believe him for eternal life? Not for all the other things that we could want Jesus to do for us, but for eternal life, because you and I are going to need that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are the eternal life. Thank you that your Son, who was lifted up like the snake in the wilderness, lifted up on the cross to die, is the way that we can have eternal life. Because he died and rose again, we can have eternal life with him. We pray that we would believe your promise this morning to us and come to him for eternal life. And in doing that, we pray that we would hold that same promise out to others all around us. Amen.